Colossians 4, if you're using a Pew Bible, page 985. We got through Colossians 4, 2 through 5 a couple weeks ago. We haven't touched on verse 6, and we're addressing that tonight. Let's go ahead and read, though, beginning at verse 2. So Colossians 4, 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. So the orders he gives is you need to pray continually, steadfastly. You need to be watching. Pray for open doors of ministry. And then pray that we would be courageous to take advantage of that and speak boldly and with clarity. Verse 5, he talks about how we live. So you have how we pray, and then you have how we live. Verse 5, conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. So we're supposed to live wisely. We're supposed to live intentionally, especially before outsiders. So you have non-Christians outside the faith, outside the church, and they're observing us. And Scripture repeatedly says that we should live in such a way that if they criticize Christians, it's slander. It's not true. They have to lie about us in order to say negative things about us. So live a life that is careful and intentional. And then we talked about making wise use of time. Ephesians 5 says, redeem the time because the days are evil. Psalm 90, verse 12, teaches us to number our days. Now, verse 6 says, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Okay, King James, we're accustomed to, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. So, he did how we pray, and then how we live, and then how we speak. And most of Scripture would say, actually, the speech is the hard one. James says, you know, that if a man is able to control his tongue, he's mature and a perfect man. And nobody controls his tongue, right? The tongue is a great evil, and it does a great deal of harm. But here we're told that we ought to be prayerfully trying to control it. So speak graciously, tastefully, and I just chose that word because of the salt idea, and then purposefully. Talk to me for a moment about that first qualification. Let your speech always be gracious. All right? Quickly, what does it mean to have your speech be gracious? Or what does it mean, you know, what's the opposite of that? Comment on what it means for speech to be gracious. All right, so you're saying it should be offensive or should not be offensive? Yeah, the opposite of gracious speech is offensive speech.
Our speech should be a blessing to others.
Our speech should be a blessing to others. All right, it actually should kind of minister grace to them. In fact, if you want to keep your finger here, Ephesians, remember Ephesians and Colossians are kind of cousins. They have a lot of similar content. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth. So there's the opposite, is corrupt talk. What kind of speech should come out of our mouths? He says, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So there, grace isn't, you know, it's not an adverb that's describing how we speak. It's actually a noun, that we're trying to give grace to people by what we say. So it's not just that, you know, it's smooth talk, but it's talk that actually builds people up and ministers grace to them. Somebody should be more encouraged in the faith because they talked to you. Okay, now you know conversations. You know what it's like to talk to somebody, and you talk to somebody for 10 minutes, And you know what it's like when that person has spiritually built you up and encouraged you, maybe prayed with you, said what you needed to hear. And then you know the opposite experience. Sometimes you talk to somebody and it feels like they've just sucked a year of your life. I mean, you just feel like, man, that conversation wore me out. Okay, well, we want to be the people. Now, I'm not saying that we're not telling the truth, but we want to be people that the speech that we use is actually filled with grace and has the effect of building people up in the faith. All right? Other thoughts on what it means to speak graciously? Well, we know from comparing Scripture with Scripture, it can't mean that you just avoid hard speech. Sometimes people need to hear, you know, the faithful wounds of a friend. So sometimes you need to rebuke someone and tell them hard truth. But even that can be done graciously. And Scripture is going to say, like in Galatians 6, if you're correcting a brother, you need to do it with a spirit of meekness. You do it with humility. Even Ephesians 4:29 says you do it at the right time. Okay, but your speech should be gracious, not corrupt. You're not beating people down. In fact, if you want to look at Luke 4:22, it would be worth turning. Luke 4:22. We had touched on this passage on Sunday where Jesus quotes from Isaiah and says that he was the one, the Messiah, coming, and he fulfilled verses 18 and 19. But look at verse 22. After he spoke, verse 22, and all the people spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? It's not that they thought he was eloquent, but they thought that the content of his speech was godly. It was filled with grace. It was insightful. So we want grace-filled speech. Now, this one, I think, is a little bit more difficult. What does it mean when the Bible says that our speech should be always gracious, seasoned with salt? What does it mean for your speech to be seasoned with salt? And I think this one's a little bit more challenging to understand and apply. What do you think? Your speech should be seasoned with salt. Dan? Yeah. Salt makes food more palatable. All right, so you might have bland food and a little bit of salt can kind of enhance the flavor, make it easier to eat. And Pinozian used to say, you know, like Middle Ages or something, everything tasted like salt because that's the only spice anybody had. They didn't have any of these other, you know, curry or whatever. But a little bit of salt doesn't cover the flavor, it enhances it. Okay, now, how does that make sense when we're talking about your speech being seasoned with salt? Huh? All right, you want your speech to be more acceptable. What is it telling you to do? How should this command affect your speech? What does it mean to have speech that is more acceptable, more palatable? Yeah, I think we're going to see from Proverbs, you think before you speak, you think about it ahead of time, and a learned skill, some people are just good at it and some people just aren't and they need to learn it, is you don't only think what to say, but you think ahead how it's going to sound to the other person. And we would call that in speech class that you learn how to empathize. Before I say this to you, I'm going to hear it through your ears and say, you know what, that's going to come off wrong. It's going to sound different than I intended. And you're really thinking. So you're being gracious, and then you're wanting to salt your speech so it's easier to take. Give me a little bit more commentary. What's it mean to salt your speech? Zach?
Like not be bitter,
Yeah. And we're back to not being offensive. You don't want to say something in an unnecessarily offensive way. And you're thinking ahead saying, how can I tell this person the truth, but how can I do it in a way that's easy as possible to take? So I'm not being curt. I'm not being unnecessarily harsh. And, you know, you can say the same thing in a way that zings people, or you can say it in such a way that it's more palatable. It's a little bit more salty. Okay, there were several other comments. Mark?
I was just going to say if something's tasty or desirable, people want more of it.
Yeah, people want more of it. I like that. Makes them thirsty. So they actually, you know, part of what this is talking about is, and this is funny because we're in the middle of a moral discussion on sinful speech, but he's not just saying your speech shouldn't be sinful. He's saying to some degree your speech should be skillful. You know, that you don't just go into a difficult meeting and kind of wing it, but you say, how can I make this as easy to take as possible? So that they want more. They don't want to just, okay, I got it. Yep, stop, you know. And, you know, they have these, there's an organization called Toastmasters, and they teach people how to speak well in a public setting. Okay, I'm not saying the Bible's telling you to go to Toastmasters, but I do think the Bible is telling you, especially in difficult circumstances, to actually prayerfully think through what you're going to say and to say it as skillfully as possible. And often when Proverbs talks about speech, it talks about the content, but it also talks about the timing of speech. You know, that it's like apples of gold in setting of silver, or a word fitly spoken is a blessing. I would say part of this is just knowing the timing. If somebody has really kind of had a bad time, they're being beaten down, and you have something hard to say, you might just say, you know, they've taken a beating all day. I think I'll come back to this later. You know, they probably don't need to hear this right now. I would say, personally, Lori, if I have something, you know, kind of heavy to talk about with my wife, I'm not going to do it at night because she's tired and because I want her to sleep through the night. And if I share something with her right before bed, like, you know, honey, let me drop a bomb. All right, good night. And I go to sleep and she's, you know, her mind's running on more. So, you know, all night. So, you know, you pick a time when you say, you know what, I don't even want to tell her that as she goes out the door. Why don't we get to the weekend where we can have some time to really discuss this? So I think part of that is this gracious and salty speech. I think part of this even is saying it not only as palatable as possible, but saying it in as winsome a way as possible. George Whitefield was actually criticized as a preacher because he was so expressive, and he actually was like an actor when he preached. And, you know, I don't like it when somebody gets into the pulpit and instead of being themselves, they put on like a, you know, kind of a pulpit voice, turn in your Bibles to, you know, praise God. I was like, man, I talked to you 10 minutes ago and you sounded normal. What happened to you? I don't like that artificiality. But George Whitefield would preach and he would be in earnest and thousands of people would come. And, you know, some criticized him, but John Piper does a biography of him and he says he talked about the Bible like it mattered. You know, it wasn't boring. It wasn't just blah, blah, blah. And somewhere in that lecture, Piper says something to the effect of, it is a sin to bore people with the scriptures. All right, this book matters too much for you to just drone on. It should affect you, and then you should give thought to making it salty so it affects them. And, you know, some people are naturally that way. We just like words. And some might need to be more, you know, more careful. And honestly, the people who don't like words, your speech can be more effective because you talk rarely, and when you do, it's valuable. But speech that is gracious and I would say skillful. You plan ahead. Look with me very quickly at Proverbs 15:28. This is what Ray was touching on. Proverbs 15:28. Proverbs 15:28, the heart of the righteous ponders, thinks hard about how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. So a righteous person thinks hard about what to say, and a fool just, whatever comes in his head comes out his mouth. Okay, so it's the idea of teaching your tongue what to say. Does anybody have a King James Bible with you? It's okay, you can admit it. All right, sure. You have one. Look up for us Proverbs 16:23 and 24. Proverbs 16:23 and 24.
The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones.
Okay. So your speech can be powerful that way. And I like the way the King James says it, that the heart of the wise teaches his mouth. You be the teacher of your mouth. You lead your mouth. You don't let your mouth lead you. Okay? And that kind of gets back to that idea of let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, and prepare ahead to know how to answer every man. And the last point on that reminds me of 1 Peter 3:15. Honor Christ as Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. So you want to have an answer ready. And you know, part of that is if you know you're going to be speaking, you prepare ahead. But part of that is you just know your faith so well that somebody comes up and they ask you a general question and you can get to the gospel from there because you've prepared yourself. Okay, so we want to pray watchfully, consistently. We want to live intentionally, and we want to speak with grace, and we want that gracious speech to be interesting, seasoned with salt, as if what we're saying really matters a great deal. I would say I had a conversation with a guy in a church in Ohio, and we'd had a discussion about his leadership, his coming into office as a church, and the other leaders in the church wanted me to tell him, listen, you're not being nominated this year. Let me tell you why. And the reasons were a little bit hard. And I thought, man, just leave him alone. You know, just don't nominate him, don't say anything. But they said, no, we want to build him up and get him ready so he can do it in the future. And I knew that it was going to kill this guy. It would be hard to hear. And I went to speak to him. And I had prayed about it. I'm not saying I did it just right, but my heart was really prepared. And as I spoke to him words that I knew could be hard to hear, I actually choked up. And like, you know, I love you. And I'm going to tell you some things because I love you and for your good. And here's some things for you to consider. And you know, part of that's just me. I'm emotional. But part of speaking in a way that people can hear it is they know if you have to rebuke them, you're not enjoying it. You know, I've had people rebuke me and it seemed like, yeah, they thought about this and they were loaded for bear, you know, and they came at me. And that's hard to hear. But when somebody's telling you hard things, but you can tell it hurts them, but they do it anyway, it's a good thing. So there's a lot of ways for our speech to be seasoned with salt, and a lot of that is just kind of a try to approach them with humility. Try to speak in an interesting way. Right. Some of you are saying, Pastor, this was the most boring study you've ever taught. I know the irony of that, you know, but it's a good thing for us to aim at. All right, let's close in prayer, and then brother, we're going to go ahead and have you speak from the pulpit just so it's easy for you to get the mic. And are we all set up there? We're good. All right. Thank you, Lord, for this challenge from the scriptures. It's so hard for us to have our tongues controlled by you. Help us to do better. to speak graciously, to speak intentionally, wisely, provocatively, in a good way, seasoned with salt, and then help us to have an answer to give to others when they ask about our faith, about what makes us different. Thank you for this. Now, Lord, I pray for Pastor Thomas as he comes and speaks to us. Give him grace and wisdom and the words to say. Help us to understand and appreciate, and as Christian brothers and sisters, to uplift him and his work in prayer, to be an encouragement to them. So use these next several moments for the advance of the kingdom and for your own glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.